Okay, so today's learning, tonight's learning is dedicated to Lanishmas Achsa Bas Rav Meir, whose yahrzeit is later this week on Friday. Our learning should be a schus for her neshama. Okay, it's a little confusing, the Maor Mekayim sheets, I apologize, but what we're trying to do is, we are trying to finish up a segment of the sugya. This is a much bigger sugya, which we'll have to get to after Pesach more to. We're discussing the shayla of lowering the gas. I feel bad, I do like to usually talk about in Yoni to Pesach. I do have, if we want, next week, obviously not Tuesday night, but maybe Monday night, maybe we'll talk about doing something. I have a lot of Maor Mekayim that I'm using for my Shabbos, Kodesh Rosh, and my own shul. I'm talking about the origins of Gibrux, its halachic origins and its controversy. It's a great topic because it combines halacha, hashkafa, and history, three of my favorite topics. But I got 5 pages of Maor Mekayim, somewhere around, I don't know, 50, 60 sources. So to say we're going to get to all sometime next week, I don't know if that's honest or even fair. So I don't know if we're going to just wait for a different year or we'll discuss it. We'll put Michael on the case to figure out what we're doing next week. Again, I don't know if Monday night even in person makes sense. I don't know if Zoom is better. I don't know if recording is better. I'll leave that up to the powers that be to decide these complicated decisions. Yeah.
Driving up to on Sunday with my wife, we were listening to part one, and my wife goes, maybe this is a show we shouldn't listen to.
Yeah. So, Mr. Shem, we'll see if we can talk about that next week. It's fascinating from a historical standpoint and a halachic standpoint. And again, how so many people confuse Gebrux with Kitnius, and they're not the same for so many reasons. And it gets complicated when you get son-in-laws that don't eat Gebrux or do eat Gebrux. That's always where things get interesting. So I always joke, you know, the Shidduch resume questions should be stuff like, do you or don't eat Gebrux? That should be like top question in looking for a future son-in-law or daughter-in-law. But in any case, if there's time, we'll get to it next week. But this week we are dealing with the Shaila of lowering your gas on Yom Tov, because with Yom Tov, there's a lot of cooking and there's a lot of fire and there's a use and there's a heter that we developed last week based on the Ramon Shulchan Aruch, and maybe even the Mechaber himself, for Sfardim, that one is permitted to lower a flame if it's going to cause the food to burn. So we left off last week, we saw, again, we're on the page, it's hard to describe it even, so there's one single paper that says, Kiboy B'yomtev B'shvil Shina, which I hope we get to, and then there's another page that starts off on the top right corner with the Tshuva of Rav Moshe. Igros Moshe, should say number 9. So last week we started with Moshe's Tshuva, which is a very important Tshuva. If you don't have that page, there are some more in this pile over here. But we left off last week. We saw a tshuva from Rav Moshe, a very important tshuva. Rav Moshe Feinstein writes very clearly that if a person has a gaz going on Yom Tov, and if he leaves the food the way it is, the food would burn. Rav Moshe Feinstein writes he is allowed to lower the flame. But the chiddush to this tshuva from Rav Moshe was Rav Moshe said, even if you have an option to put it on a lower flame and raise it. Rav Moshe said that even if I have two gazes going on my stove on Yom Tov, one is too high and one is too low. So if I take it off the higher one, I'd have to raise the low one. Rav Moshe says, fine. You still can lower the larger one, even though for the same price you can raise the higher one, the lower one. So we spoke out. What was the chiddush in this tshuva? The chiddush is it seems to be against the Magen Avram, because the Magen Avram says very clearly, the Mishnah Berurah Paskin that way, that you're only allowed to lower the fire if this is the only way to save the dish. But here I have another way to save the dish. If I put it on the other fire and I raise the other fire, I could save the dish. Yet Rav Moshe seems to say that that still is mutter. So let's talk about Rav Moshe Shita a little bit, and we'll see what other Achrenim said. Rav Moshe by far is the Das Yochin in this topic. Rav Moshe is the minority opinion. Rav Moshe is as far as I know, the only one maybe. Might be Rav Chatzkel Roth, who's a chassidish, a poysik that held like Rav Moshe, but most poysikim disagreed with Rav Moshe. Now, what was Rav Moshe's chiddush? Rav Moshe held, if I have only one gaz, so then Rav Moshe is not such a chiddush anymore. Then if I only have one gaz, and if I don't lower the gaz, I'm going to lose the dish. So that's really a Ramon Shulchan Aruch. The chiddush to Rav Moshe is when a person has multiple gazes. He has one gaz that's very high, one gaz that's very low. So he has a decision to make. Do I lower the higher gaz and do kiboy, or do I raise the lower gaz and do havara? So I would have assumed, and most Achrenim assume, that you should raise the higher one instead. I always get confused with this one. You got to. I'm happy to hear people are listening. It's good. It makes me feel good. You got to raise the lower one instead of lowering the higher one. Got that right? Okay. Because Havara, we know for sure was mutter on Yom Tov.
Not to start a new one,
but Havara letzarich bishul we know is mutter. Kiboy we know is not so pashut. So that's the way I would have learned the cheshbon. Rav Moshe does not say that. Rav Moshe says, either one, whatever you want, you can do. So according to Rav Moshe, if I have two gases going, one is very high, one is very low, I lower the higher one, and I'm good to go. Now, What do I do now when it gets too low? Then I might have to raise it again for cooking purposes. That's mutter. Now,
but according to Rav Moshe, it's only if it's burning?
According to Rav Moshe, it's only if the food is going to get burnt the way it is. Now, usually, that's not always the case. As we pointed out last week, and we'll see it again this week, there's a lot of times that you can do other things, other tactics out there to prevent the food from burning. You can take it off the fire, you can put a blech down, you can play other games. But if this is the case, then it would be mut. So let's take a look over in number 10 in the Chut Shani, Reb Nissen Karel. So we read Reb Moshe's tshuva last week, and we ended off with a diuk that Reb Moshe said that lowering a flame for no reason and turning off the flame for no reason is the same. And Reb Moshe said, if turning off a flame is asr for no reason, then lowering a flame is also asr for no reason. And we were made on a diyak. Why does Rav Moshe say if? Isn't that like everyone agrees you can't turn off a flame for no reason? The answer is no. Rav Moshe might have held differently, and we'll have to get to that after Pesach Blin Eder. We'll discuss why Rav Moshe might have held that you could 100% turn off a gas on Yom Tov even if there's no need.
Even, we say turn off.
Turn off.
Lower.
No.
We mean totally turn off?
Rav Moshe writes in the Tshuva, lowering and turning off is the same. Rav Moshe says that, we'll see, Rav Moshe never says this clearly. He's very politically correct, and he's very careful not to write this clearly, but there's a tradition from Rav Moshe that Rav Moshe held that a person is permitted to turn off a gas stove oven on Yom Tov.
Do we know whether or not there's a pilot
light? No, doesn't matter. Seems not to matter. And we'll have to break our heads to figure out where Rav Moshe is coming from.
That's because one that you turned off completely, you can never turn on. The one that you lowered, you can.
Rabbi, the question is, ask Kiboy. Rav Moshe is going to tell you it's not a problem of Kiboy, even though I turned it down not for necessarily any food involved.
If the pilot is there, though, which I assume was more common in Rav Moshe's day,
but not,
you still have some flame.
Correct,
there.
But Rav Moshe was not. Again, Rav Moshe never wrote it, so it's hard to know for sure. There were also non-pilot ovens in those days also. So we'll see. We'll work it through in the Rishayim, and we'll see how it's Tali and Machloikis, Toisvis, and Rosh. That we'll have to deal with after Pesach. So don't turn off any gases till after Pesach.
But it's specific to gas.
Yes, definitely this is only a gas.
It's only stopping.
Correct, exactly. Because a gas oven, it might be what's called Gram Kiboy, and Gram Kiboy might be Motor and Yom Tov. So we'll have to get to that Blin Eder after Pesach.
Rav Moshe doesn't explain why he's a Das Yachid.
He never even writes in the tshuva. He actually writes the opposite. He says, I don't want to put into writing what I hold about gas ovens. Now, this is a chiddush, because Rav Moshe was not scared to write chiddushe oilam. Rav Moshe was not bashful to write unbelievable chiddushim that changed the world in halacha. Yet for this, for some reason, he had extreme hesitancy, and he writes in two places. I'll show it to you, Blin Eder, after Pesach. I have the sources. He writes, I don't want to write about this. And we're kind of left, what was he talking about? What was it about? So Blin Eder, we'll have to get to that after Pesach. But let's first start, let's talk about on Yom Tov. So on Yom Tov, you're going to have gases going. We have a 3-day Yom Tov, Amir Tashem, Abba'alein, Al-Taiva. So you definitely want to make sure you have, right, because once Shabbos comes, you no longer can lower that flame. So you want to make sure you have the right temperature going into Friday/Shabbos. Especially you want to make sure you have your Eiv Tavshilin, and also if you're going to be making with things like that, but that's always a good reminder. We still never did that sugya. The sugya also on my to-do list is Eiv Tavshilin. It's a great sugya, a lot of lumdis, and a lot of practical ramifications as well. Blin Eder, we'll have to put it on our to-do list, maybe before Shavuos, because Shavuos is also a 3-day Yom Tov. Maybe we'll cover it then. In any case, so you have your gas going. You have a very high flame because your wife needed to defrost the soup, so you have the flame going gesund. And now you realize that the house is very hot. But again, the house very hot is not going to be good enough. But now you realize the soup is burning. You have the soup under it. You have a rice or those dishes that burn very quickly. What do you do now? So according to Rav Moshe, if you see the dish is going to burn, no problem. Lower the flame. Writes from this in Karel, it's in the Chut Shani number 10, he says, Im ein lo eish achel av ashlov, if you have no other fire, v'tzorech lahaktin a eish agas kadosh lo yisraf atavshol, the motim yom tif, says from this in Karel, it's, mikom okim im yuchal laniach kedere tachtel, bo oifen shi ismai te eish kifi atzorech lo, also lahaktin a eish. Writes from this in Karel, it's that if you have another option to save the dish, you could put down what we'd call today a blech, or another type of, or you could put even what's called a hefsekadera. You put an inverted foil pan. If you were to put a blech over your fire with an inverted pan, you'd be shocked how much decreased the fire gets. If you were to do that, you would see that the fire is not going to ruin your dish. So Nissen Karelitz points out, you have to do that first. Because if you read the Ramah carefully, which is based on a rush in Beya, the only time you're allowed to lower fire, if this is the only way to save the dish, it's not the only way to save the dish. It's not hard to put a blech down with an inverted foil pan. It's not a big deal. I'm not saying you mechuyev to run to your neighbor. I'm not saying you mechuyev to go off and on and make yourself crazy. But to put down a blech in an inverted foil pan is not such a big deal. So according to the Nissen Karelitz, and we'll see Blineda, there's an article in the Beis Yitzchak and YU's journal from Rav Moshe Tendler, where he makes the same observation, and I think it's a very good observation, and I think a lot of people are not careful. We have this willy-nilly attitude to kibbuy and yamtiv, oh, boom, lower the fire. Not so pashut. It has to be that there is no other way to save the dish, and more often than not, there probably is a way to save it without having to lower the fire, then lowering the fire becomes no longer mutter on yamtiv.
What happens if, let's say, you put on a shulach and you put the inverted dish, let's say, like, I do Shabbos.
Like we're doing Shabbos, right? Sure.
Right, you can't do it on a davar lach, but a davar yom, you should do it.
Right.
But I have handles that pop up, meaning I take them off, because otherwise they're plastic. If I put on the blach, that it would melt the handle. Are the handles mutsa?
Why, I'm not happy. The handles are where? On the pot?
On top. It's a four-burner stovetop, and I got four plastic handles, one for each burner.
The handle on the burner?
You mean the knobs?
The knobs.
Yeah.
You're not from New York.
I don't know how that was.
What did I say? Handle.
You said handle. I wasn't sure.
I meant knobs. Right.
Kansas, that's funny.
All right, listen. Chicago.
I had those also for the kids, so they don't play with the fire. I also had knobs like that over the...
No. They're typical knobs.
Yeah, that's how you turn on the gas, no?
Yeah, turn on the gas. Right. So are those muxa? Can I pull them out? In other words, on Friday afternoon, I pull them out because otherwise the blech melts the handle. Because it's plastic. My question is...
It's not muxa if you can use them. On yomtiv, if you can use them, you can raise the fire. You can for sure raise the fire on yomtiv.
No, but can I take off? In other words, I put...
Yeah, okay. I don't see the problem. I think it's a problem.
In other words, the knobs are on top.
I follow. Gotcha.
So what I do is I pull them off before Shabbos.
Got it.
Because otherwise the
fine, good.
Melt them.
Right.
So can I do that on yomtiv?
To pull them off?
Yeah.
I don't see. At best, it might be a klisha malach lissa, but on yomtiv, it's not a klisha malach lissa because you're allowed to use them on yomtiv. So I don't think it's a problem.
So it's not muksa.
I don't think so. No. Okay. And even worse, it would be a klisha malach lissa, which the tzarech mekayma would be mutter to be moved anyways. Tzarech mekayma means it's staring the place where I need it. I need the blech to come here, so it's in the way.
Well,
I
would think it's mutter. It's just they would melt.
Yeah, that's what it means. I think it's mutter.
Yeah. Let's say, for instance, like soup or something or stew something. You see, it's getting still an hour or so to eat.
Right.
Can you turn it? Are you required to take it off and then in a half hour put it back on again?
If we read the Ramah carefully and we read the Ramah, which is based on the Rush, where it's pretty clear in the Acharonim that it's got to be that this is the only option. Now again, you have to know. We'll see if Nissen Karel clears such a shay. Like, how far do we go? You know, let's say, for example, I have a neighbor who lives three blocks away that has an open gas. Am I mechuyev to take it off mine and schlep to... No, that's already, I hear. But if it's not too much of a burden, again, I hear to put it on and off and on and on. You become a shmata already at some point, and then you're already just like, okay, forget it, let's skip the dish, right? But if it's not a crazy amount of off and on the fire, I definitely hear one should consider trying that before lowering the fire. I would think so. It sounds like from the Ramah that the only time you're allowed to lower the fire is if this is the only way to save the dish. I have another way, take it off. But if you're going to be back and forth and then it's not going to cook well, then I don't think you're mechuyev to do that. I think you can lower the fire. So let's take a look at the Shmir Shabbos Kol Chaser. He writes like this: V'chein mutter lahanmich biyomtiv es ala hava shal kiyure gas. You're allowed to lower the flame of the gas ovens. Yeah, lahanmich is a word I learned. It means to lower. Kasher ein lo ela eish achas. When you only have one fire, ve'in yochel lahadik lahava acheres ikatan mizu averes, and you can't raise another flame. Meaning, all these achrayim are assuming you have one flame going. Again, I didn't take a poll. I know in my house I have more than one flame going on a yomtiv. On a regular Shabbos, I have two. I think on yomtiv, I also have two. I have two gas burners going. So then we'll see if you have two gas burners going, it becomes even harder to justify. Again, if they're at different temperatures, if they're both high, so then obviously you're going to have to lower something. But if you have, and we'll see, Reb Nasha Klein gives us a very great idea of what to do for yomtiv. If one is higher and one is lower, so says the Shmir Shabbos Kachasi, not like Reb Moshe. Then he says, take it off the higher flame, put it on a lower flame, and if need be, raise that one. Now, the problem with that is you're going to be stuck now with two high flames. But then if you have two high flames, then you're allowed to lower one of them, right? So then the chayyur, you'd be okay.
Why? Because it's always better to raise it than to lower it?
According to most achrayim, again, according to Rav Moshe, no. You could do either one. Rav Moshe is a das yachid by far. Rav Moshe held they're equal. Either lower or raise, they're exactly the same. Everyone else disagreed with Rav Moshe. Everyone else, even contemporary poskim like Yaakov Kamenetsky, also held. Like, again, it's a Magen Avram. Rav Moshe has a whole shtickle Torah in this Magen Avram, which we'll have to get to Bli Neder after Pesach. But Rav Moshe held that lowering and hiring are equal. Everyone else disagreed with Rav Moshe. Everyone else, if you have a choice, way better to hire than it is to lower.
Louis, so you'd have an old oven that has a pilot light. Does that make a difference?
No, not for this. It's not going to make a difference. Still going to be a lowering of flame either way. So let's see. Zok Shmir Shabbos Gechotzei. V'gam ein erotz al ha'ases ha'gdei l'gam im ha'nesh. He points out, Ronnie, your point. Why don't you just take it off the fire? He says, you don't want to take it off the fire. Why? Mishum shu rotzal lishma achay matavshel. It's going to kill the temperature. And when you take it off, again, it's going to affect the temperature of the dish. V'hu choyshesh ha'tavshel sh'al ha'lava yikadech v'yiskalkel. You think it's going to get ruined? O'y choyshesh ha'mayim, he said, okay. Avol osur lahan miches ha'lava k'dei limnoye sh'o'ichel yechrach b'miktsas. What happens if it's just going to get a little charcoal, a little burnt at the edge? Not unedible, not that you throw it out, but you know, a little burnt at the edge. Oy shakder tepuach v'alachas kama v'kama sh'os ha'laso is gamkein im kavanose b'aktonas ha'lava sh'irach k'dei limnoye hefsimam. So points out the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasai that we're talking about the dish is going to get ruined, unedible. No one's going to eat it. It's just going to sit there on the pot. Which again, could happen with, we saw Rabbi Shaul point out last week with rice. Rice burns very quickly. Certain soups burn very quickly. Again, I'm not the expert chef here, but definitely there are certain things that burn very quickly. So you lose it. But Zok Shmir Shabbos Kilchasai, we're talking about it, you're really going to lose it. Not that it's going to be a little burnt on the edges, but still very edible. Also points at the Shmir Shabbos Gechotzei, if you're turning it off just to save money, that is not allowed. That is definitely not allowed. There is no tzar in the world that you're allowed to lower a gas because you want to save on your gas bill. Now what happens if the apartment or the house gets very hot? That's already, you know, maybe more of a legitimate reason. Now it might depend on how hot it is. If it's taka unbearable hot, maybe you can call that tzari chayichol nefesh, you know, doimit to tzari chayichol nefesh, but the pashtus would be is that anything that's not really for food related would not be allowed to lower the fire, unless you think that the fire is going to ruin the actual dish.
How about if you have grandchildren over and you're afraid that they'll stick their hands under?
I think you should put a blech down. They can't get it under the blech. I think so. So if you take a look in the footnote over here, he points out, he says, what's takip shat? Why is it better to raise a fire than to lower a fire? Why not? Moshe should be right. Rav Moshe told us that once you come to the point of the Ramah, that you're holding now, that it's mutter to turn off the fire, so why do I have to raise instead of lowering it? So he quotes from Rav Shlomo Zalman, he says, V'tam adover, the odif lahadlik milichvois. It's better to light than to extinguish. Why? Mishum de kiboy doime yoyse lemachshivin. Because kiboy at the end of the day is still closer in the family of prep than it is in the family of actual food necessary. He says, Shemati mehagoyin Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach. I heard this from Rav Shlomo Zalman. Now that taka makes sense. And this is really what we saw in the sugya. Remember, if we had a mi'iri in the beginning of the sugya, the mi'iri said very clearly that extinguishing a fire is not needed for food. It's only needed to make sure the food doesn't get ruined. That's not oichel nefesh. Therefore, zoktim shloim ezaman orbach, if I have a choice to do kiboy or havara, I'd rather do havara any day over kiboy. Rav Moshe disagreed. Rav Moshe said, once I'm allowed to do kiboy, I can do whatever I want. But if Shem Zalman held, Shmir Shabbos Kochasi, Shem Zalman, they all held that once I have a choice between Kiboy and Havara, I always go Havara over Kiboy. Now, if you take a look in the Deborah Tzina Rav, the Be'er Moshe, so he writes, he says, I always paskin to anyone who asks me, I tell him, have a little fire going on Yom Tif. Have a raise another fire, meaning try to produce another fire. Have two burners going. Echot katan ve'echot gadol. K'dei l'shtamish b'Yom Tif oy b'katan oy b'gadol. So after that, I think you should set it up better that you have two flames, one high and one low, and alternate between when you need a higher flame and when you need a lower flame.
What happens if you need the multiple dishes on this
stuff? And okay, so then Yechrami, once you get to that point, you'd be allowed to play around. V'ashoyel boiche be'etza echor ayabez, bo'ifin, shem tzrichen la'esh katan yishtam shular katan, v'em tzrichen la'or yoyse gadol, oy gadol ma'amish yishtam shubara acher. You'll play around. If Dr. Debit Sinarov, that's the best aid, so that avoids all problems. Now, the Mishnah Berurah does point out over here, number 13, he says, when is it mutter to lower? The food's going to get ruined. What does that mean? Says the Mishnah Berurah, davka im beloize yiskalka lapas. He's talking about bread. If you don't take it off, if you don't lower the flame, it's going to get ruined. Avlim lo yiskalkel. It won't get ruined. Rakshi mischarech ma'at. Get a little charcoaled. Veloye noye. It won't be beautiful. But it's edible. Zog the Mishnah Berurah, osur mi'ache shehu mechab. So this Mishnah Berurah is very important. Mishnah Berurah is pointing out, you got to really ask yourself, will the dish get ruined or will the dish won't be as geshmak?
He had a different formulation earlier.
says, yeah.
Right, that means burnt charcoal.
Is it charcoal?
Yeah, yisrifu means burnt. Usually means kalia. This, you know, usually when we talk about burnt, it means completely burnt, unusable.
Okay, I didn't
know. That's what I would have assumed he means. Now, if you take a look at the Shmir Shabbos Kachasi, he says, no, he says, Achshemati mir, Shlom Mezalman Orbech, the Dafka Bechia Gavner Shle Atavsha Kol Kachanoe, who the Choshe Vikein Shavu Chonevish, Aval Im Achelek, Shenich Rechtsas, Loye Toiv Kol Kach Lamachel, if it won't be good to eat. Shapir Choshe Vatsoy Chonech Vishayulich. Zoktim Shlom Mezalman, it's a question of, you know, will people eat it or not? If people are not going to eat this charred piece of bread, so then it's mutter. We're talking about where it just looks bad, but it's still edible. But if it's not edible, people are not going to eat it, Zoktim Shlom Mezalman, then you are allowed to turn off the fire. Simchas Yomtiv is not going to really work its way in over here. It has to be what's called Tzarich Echol Nefesh. So, Blineder, if we ever talk about Gibrox, so one of the major arguments that the Achroinim argued why Gibrox is mutter is because of Simchas Yomtiv. They say if you can't eat Gibrox, you ruined everyone's Yomtiv. That was Yaakov Emden's taina, Chacham Tzvi's taina, why he didn't like kidneys. He thought kidneys is something we should do away with. There's only one problem, the Rishonim did it. You can't outdo the Rishonim. But Gibrox was in the Rishonim, so the Chacham Tzvi felt we can do away with it. And his argument is Simchas Yomtiv.
So this becomes subjective, like how much you burn.
Right, I think it might depend on your crowd. If your crowd, if your crowd looks at this and says, no way, this is burnt, then you know, if you anticipate your crowd, and your crowd's going to say, no way, this is burnt.
Does your crowd consist of your wife?
Yeah, yeah, whoever's the people eating it, 100%. Whoever's going to eat
it. One making it. Like, she's going to say, I'm not serving it.
If the people are not going to eat it, so then it's going to be mutter. Rabbi Yashiv is also mekel. He says, the aflut tzarech shiyipur atavshil. Even if we just want it to look good. Gam kisheinu kilkul gomel yesh lahokal bezeh bekiba esh shel gas. So you have, epis a little bit more wiggle room than just the Mishnah Berurah. If this is going to come out burnt and crisp and charcoal and everyone looks at the dish and says, no way, so then you would be allowed to take it off the fire as well. Rabbi Asher Klein over here has an interesting tshuva, where he writes it this. He says, Yofe hayer bezeh, the shoyl had a good point, and he says, Ubeisi in my house, says Rabbi Asher Klein, makbidim alzeh, shloy lahoyvid hagaz mishom atavshel. We never lower the fire. Talk to Menashe Klein. Now, truth again, chassidim, if you have chassidish friends, ask them, they will tell you that they never lower a flame on, they never lower a flame on Yom Tov. Ashkenazim, we do it all the time. Chassidim never do it. Now, I'm not saying they're right. I'm not saying we're wrong. I think it's somewhere in between. It might depend on the type of options you have and some of the things you could and should do. So Menashe Klein says that in his house, they never lower flames. The kol shekein efshel aniach hakdeir minat sad v'lo yisrof hamachal. He says, you have options. You can move it over the side. Move it over a little bit. Or you'll have the gaz chadosh. Now, he doesn't mean a new flame, because that's noilat. He means start, you know, have another fire that wouldn't be a problem of noilat. The gamani temesi al minig anoshim. He says, I always was bothered by what he calls minig anoshim, the women's minig. What's the women's minig? Shemenichem lechatchila ezamachal al gaz b'derech aroma. The women, they used to do a shtikal aroma. What they used to do, they'd put something on the gaz, v'oimim, they'd say, shamachal nisraf. They would put something over the fire and say, oh, the fire is too high. The women were upset, big lamdon, these girls. What they used to do was, they'd put something on the fire, and they'd say, oh, it's burning, let's lower the fire. So he says, that's a joke. Just take the thing off the fire, right? If you take the thing off the fire, it doesn't get burnt, so there's no heter to do that. So he says, v'choyri iser gomer, it's taka aser. So he says, no. V'ktsas chashavti lumer tzchus al oilim. He says, no, maybe there's a limud tzchus on these girls. Why? Davi kiboy loy havi el midarabon. We always have to go back to this. This is important nekuda. Kiboy, lowering, turning off a fire on Yom Tov or Shabbos is always going to only be Nisa Derabban. Why? Because it's a Melacha Sheitzvich L'gufo. That's A. Says Rabbi Asher Klein, V'ri'isi b'ktsas achrein m'shiz tapku. Yak tonas hagas hava l'klakech shem meraneh sh'oz b'shem b'chabe. Oy klakech eitzim shoy doko adayim v'loy domi l'klakech shem meraneh davi l'ach b'lach v'chosh v'lakach meizit tam shu'i b'chabe mamish. This belief that we'll get to after Pesach. Says Rabbi Asher Klein, there are some achrei that are not even sure if lowering a gaz is even mechabe, or it might be what we call gram kibui. You're stopping the flow of the gaz. Am I stopping the flow of the gaz? Memela, the fire goes out. So therefore, says Rabbi Asher Klein,
it's like a secret. Turn it off.
Right, so we'll see, Bli Neder, we're going to learn after Pesach, we'll see, there's a lot of Rishonim that discuss, obviously not a gaz oven, but they discuss something that we're going to apply to our gaz oven. So stay tuned, Bli Neder, after Pesach, we will deal with that sugya. So says Rav Nachman Klein, so first of all, every kibbutz is only the Rabbanim. Secondly, maybe kibbutz of a gaz is only gram kibbutz, which is mutter and yomtiv. So says Rav Nachman Klein, maybe put this all together, maybe these girls are not so crazy. Maybe it's not the end of the world. So he says, no, he says, that's not going to work. He says, at the end of the day, it's still not allowed. He says, maybe that was their cheshbon. Okay. And then he points out over here, we mentioned there's a Pnei Yeshua. The Pnei Yeshua has a Gevaldige Chiddush. Everyone should remember this Pnei Yeshua for the rest of your life. The Pnei Yeshua says that the idea of Melacha Shein Tzrich Gufo, that in Hilchas Shabbos is a Machloikis. We paskin, it's part of Lasser. But in Yom Tif, it's Asa Midereisa. It's a Gevaldige Chiddush. The Pnei Yeshua says that the Machloikis of Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda about Melacha Shein Tzrich Gufo is only by Shabbos. But by Yom Tif, Kuli Alma Moide, it's awesome in the rice.
How does it become more chumidic?
So it has become more chumidic. So the Pnei Yeshua has a shtickle Torah. His shtickle Torah basically goes that the whole idea of Melachas Shein Tzrich Gufo is nomad from the Mishkan. Right? Where do we get the 39 Melachas from? The Mishkan. Yom Tif has its own Isser. I mean, Yom Tif is not based on the Mishkan. Yom Tif is based on Melacha. And therefore, Melachas Shein Tzrich Gufo is still a Melacha. Therefore, Zog to Pnei Yeshua, it's a Gevaldik Chiddush. It's unbelievable. That the machloikis Reb Shimon Reb Yehuda about melacha shein tzrich l'gufa is only by Shabbos, and we paskin by Shabbos it's part of avol aser. Avol b'yom tif vade osam mideraisa, which means according to the Pnei Yeshua, if I lower my gas on yom tif when not justified, I'm oivin nisa deraisa. I do the same thing on Shabbos, I'm oivin nisa derabah. It's an unbelievable chiddush. Now we'll see b'li neder after Pesach. I found the Gemara that I think is a riot to the Pnei Yeshua. Even though Rabbi Kivega found the Gemara that are a bomb kasha on the Pnei Yeshua, I found the Gemara in Be'er that I think is a stark raya to the Pnei Yeshua. But here, Rabbi Menashe Klein just points out that this Pnei Yeshua is a Chiddush Gadol, and no one assumes like this Pnei Yeshua. It means it would come out of Gevaldik Chiddush. It would come out if you're going to start coming up with Heterim to do Kiboy based on the premise that Kiboy is only the Rabbanon, and on Yom Tov you can't start that Shtickle Torah. Because on Yom Tov it's Taka Deraisa. It's an amazing Chiddush, this Pnei Yeshua.
Summit Institute would have a problem also.
Oh, what?
I said that Summit Institute.
Yeah. You have to tumble much harder if this Pnei Yeshua is right. But I'll upon him. Rabbi Menashe Klein ends off the end of the tshuva. He says the same thing. He says Ukerega Nofem Nilsa B'Liboy De'Evshu De'Bishulchan Aruch Le'Asu El Be'Eish She'Asav V'Achkach L'Meil Yichv. Okay, good. Avu B'Don Shagaz Hoylich V'Doyle Kol Yem Kul Le'Oshne Yom Gimel Yom V'Chol. He says Loi Mikri Evshu Alei Shach. He says first of all, maybe it's not so posh to use another fire. He says, maybe not everyone has the option to have multiple gases going. Because sometimes you're short on space. You know, people used to use the top of the stove as storage. If you have a fire going there, you lost your storage. So he says, makes the house hot. So points out Menashe Klein, it might not be so posh to do what the Debrecina suggested. The Debrecina suggested everyone should have multiple gases going. Well, not everyone wants to have multiple gases going. Some people want to have one gas going, and then El Taka be allowed to lower it. So you have to really know what you're getting over here. No, the raising is easier. That's raising is easier. Raising is always mutter. Lower, because that's Havaru is mutter l'tzarech yom. The lowering it is where you run yourself into a little bit of a problem. If you take a look over here in number 17, the Sefer Chag B'Chag of Moshe Karp, he writes the following. He says, "Kishe efshar lahadik esha cheres." When you have the option to use another fire, melacha zu dechuya, he becomes dechuya. V'davka kishe efshar b'ifenacha, you're only allowed to lower the fire when you have no other option. Avlam yochel levashal b'ifenacha, but if you can cook in another way, kigoyin shiase esha cheres ketana, you make another smaller fire levashal aleho. Then also lichpois. So he assumes, like everyone else except for Rav Moshe, that if I have another option, then I have to go with that option instead of lowering the fire. And on the footnote, he gives us this lumnus, like we pointed out. He says, "V'omdam hasvara muvo eres." The svara makes like sense. The malachas kiboy hilo oilam hasares moinea. Kiboy is removing again. Why are you lowering a fire? Not to make the food. You raise a fire to make food. You lower a fire to make sure it doesn't ruin what you have. It's a very important nekuda. Again, when I came across this me'iri, it hit me, that's taka true. Now, not all dishes are like that. Some meats, the way they cook is by lowering the fire. That's what I heard. Again, I'm not an expert, but I heard some meats, the way they taka cook is bedavka with the fire going down. That's how they cook. But 9 out of 10 things that we cook, the turning off the fire is not what makes the food edible. It's what makes the food edible that it doesn't get burnt. But in the actual prep of the food, turning off the fire is not an essential part. So when we talk about oichal nefesh means things that are used to make the food edible. Turning off the fire, it's moridik the more you think about it. Turning off the fire is not used to make the food edible. When you're done cooking, the food's cooked. So why do you turn off the fire? So it doesn't burn. That's a separate matrega. That's called mineya, that's preventing something from happening to it. Therefore, he explains, that's why a kiboy is not mutter on yom tif. All the other things that you're allowed to do on yom tif are all necessary to make the food. This is not necessary to make the food. This is necessary to make the food, prevent it from getting ruined. So that's the million-dollar hakir here. What does it mean, oichel nefesh? So we always think oichel nefesh means anything related to food prep. Anything related to getting me a food product ready. So then, kibbutz is pasha. But if you break it down and say, no, oichel nefesh means things that are necessary in the process of making food, then this is different. So we'll see. That is like the major kash is, but if at the end of the day, if I don't turn it off, it burns, so then burning, lowering it now becomes an essential part of cooking it. So we'll come back to that.
There's no place to save a pot or a dish that might burn.
No, that for sure is going to be awesome. No, right, that's for sure going to be awesome. That, everyone agrees. If it's just a question of, right, sometimes you have that you're worried that you want to lower the fire so the bottom of the pot doesn't burn. That's not going to be mutter. That's not mutter, 100% not mutter. But only mutter if the food is inside is going to get burned. Yeah, it's a good point. That's a great question.
And all of a sudden, you're now having the greatest kibbutz ever because it goes ahead, it travels up to whatever. That was smoker, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
If you just see that, I started a new fire, which presumably came from an existing one, and all I'm doing
it has to come
in.
Right.
Forgetting about all the other shiles about health and this and that.
Why is the kibbutz? It goes out automatically. You put it back when it's still lit.
That's why anyone who smokes on Yom Tov has to be very careful. They're not allowed to move the cigarette at all. They can't cause any of that ash to fall.
Right.
It's actually very tricky to smoke on Yom Tov. But smoking Yom Tov is really part of the bigger question is it really Eichel Nefesh?
Is it a
Dover HaShavel? Meaning, if it's Eichel Nefesh, it's only if it's Shavel Chol Nefesh because you're going to be using Mitoich. Again, normally to take, again.
But it's definitely not Shavel Chol Nefesh.
That's the million dollar question. So when I did this sugya Elzman in my kail with Chassidim, I'm going to be fair and honest. They were on the opposite side of everyone at this table. They thought showers, that's ridiculous to shower on Yom Tov. Smoking, that's okay. So they had a little bit different opinion than everyone here probably in this room, but a little bit based on their background. But you know, I have to know your group that you're talking to. But it needs more explanation to break down what exactly there's a sefer that came out. Already, I think Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur time, a nice sefer written in English by, I forgot who already, Michael, who's the guy who wrote the sefer?
I don't know what sefer.
You know what it's about showers on Yom Tov.
There was a couple.
No, what's his name? You know the guy.
Well, Michael Brody wrote
it. No, the guy you know, Michael.
Not Shlomi Dickman.
Not Shlomi, the other guy you know. What kid's there? He wrote a very nice sefer with interesting chedushim.
Not Moshe Walter.
The other guy. I forgot his name. You know his name.
Rav Avraham Kamenetsky's son-in-law, the one who wrote Halacha Yomis.
He wrote a young guy. He lives in Lakewood. He wrote a very.
Oh, yeah, he's 27 years old.
I told you. You know him. What's his name? I forgot it. He wrote a very. It's great. A very geshmaka sefer. There's big chedushim there, but he quotes from a lot of the contemporary poskim. He quotes from Shmuel Kamenetsky. He quotes others. A very geshmaka sefer. But it needs a lot of. It's much more of a Sunday morning sugya than I would call it a Tuesday night sugya for both smoking and showers. And again, a lot has to do with where you live. What?
No,
I forgot. I know who he is. Okay.
But can I ask you, is the Mishnah Berurah used much, like you're talking about having five flames open, and then on the other hand, the Mishnah Berurah talks about Sekhanas Nefachos?
Yeah. So again,
how much is that used in today?
So you have to know how much it really is dangerous. Meaning, like most, we'll talk about the Paiskim, all right, if a gas blows out on Yom Tov. So you'll have to turn it off, because that's already that's very dangerous. So that's going to be mutter. But just to have two gases going, assuming that they're kept in check, it's usually not...
But its language it seems to be...
Yeah, he was talking about an open fire. He wasn't talking about a controlled fire like we have on our gas stoves, which are, for the most part, somewhat controlled.
Are there levels of QL? Like, let's say it was going to burn. You're turning it by mistake. Imamish turned it off. Is that a bigger...
According to Rav Moshe, lowering a gas and turning off a gas is exactly the same. He writes that in the Tshuva very clearly. It's shove b'shove. It's the same thing. So again, this is a very geshmak alumnus in the kud over here. That again, the reason why I'm not allowed to lower a flame when I can do something else is because I'm not really allowed to lower flames on Yom Tov. It's a misnomer. I'm not really allowed to. I'm really allowed to save dishes. That should be your attitude. I'm allowed to save food on Yom Tov. Whatever I need to do to save food. But if there's another way to save it, then it's not going to be mutter. Okay. This was one nekuda. Now, if you go to the next page that we have, with the few minutes we have left, I want to talk about a different shiloh. I want to talk about the shiloh of putting out a fire for a purpose of sleeping. We talked a little bit about this last week, right? Yom Tov is coming. Many people will be having little kids in their house, and little kids like to do what they want with lights. And what happens if one of the little kids decides they're turning on the light right after the Seder, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, now the light's on in the bedroom, and no one can sleep with the light on. No one can sleep with the light on. So I gave the shiur, someone tells me, I can sleep with the light on. So good, mazel tov for you. I'm happy, so you don't have the shiloh. But not everyone can sleep with light on, especially little kids, especially when they're in their grandparents' house and they're away. You know, we know how little kids can be, and they jump off the walls anyways from the four cups of grape juice that you gave them, because we learned Sunday morning that the kids have to have dollar cases, right? Mm-hmm. So, and now there's a light on. They're not going to go to sleep.
You can't take the kids.
Exactly. You definitely cannot take the kid to the light. So, and you'll tell me you have a guy. So if you have a guy in the house, fantastic. Go straight over to the guy. Tell the guy, listen, please turn off the light. The kids need to go to sleep. No shot. Shvus to shvus, that's mutter, that's easy.
So you don't even have to hint?
No, hinting, go straight to the guy, tell him, listen, the kids need to go to sleep, turn off the light. Good, that's easy. What if there's no guy? It's 3 o'clock in the morning, you just finished your Seder, you get the record for having the longest Seder in Jewish history. Okay, don't get me started on that topic of a long start, but okay. You have the long Seder, you're very excited, it's 4 o'clock in the morning, but there's no guy on the street. What are you going to do now? So is there a tzad, believe it or not?
Hit me now. Moshe Abramson's son. That's who it is.
That's his name. Okay.
Right. Thank you.
Very good. It's a very nice safer. It's because I had to buy it. It's a very interesting safer. It's all about showers. It's a very Geshmaka safer. It's all about showers. I'm not saying you have to agree with everything he writes there, but it's interesting. He has everything about showers, not just 3 weeks, 9 days, halachas of showering, bathing boys and girls together. Like, interesting, interesting stuff. From very contemporary, because he's a very contemporary fellow. So he has, like, you know, Psakim from Rishul Kamenetsky, Rosh Hashachter. Very contemporary, like, you know, real contemporary, up to time. What? Yeah, he brings everything. He gives you all the sheets, everything. The footnotes are fantastic. It's well written, it's detailed, it's a very nice safe. Okay? Very nice safe. So let's go back to our Shaila. Can you perhaps turn off the light yourself? Come on, go over to the light switch and turn it down. Now, again, what would be the... Turning it off, I guess. Usually,
what's the difference?
Right. Turning off the light switch. Right. Turning off the light switch. I think usually up is on, down is off. Right.
I mean,
turning it off. No, that's the same. Again, once you're going to do it, you can turn it off.
As a matter of it's first day yantav.
It might help a little bit if it's yantav sheni. It might be a little better. But let's talk about the first day yantav, right? Mamish, first night of Seder, everything was fantastic, and there's light on. It's not going anywhere. What do you do now? Is there a tzad that you'd be allowed to turn off the light yourself? Straight, go over. Again, your wife might look at you like you're crazy. She might be like, we have non-bevushal wine here, so don't touch the wine anymore because you're a Mechal Yom Tov. Right? But you might be able to. Shaila is why? How would you be able to justify it?
So
you tell me Kibbutz is a Melacha again. So first of all, if you all like the Bnei Yeshua, we're all in big trouble. Because going to Bnei Yeshua, it's a Melacha Deraisa. So it's almost not a starting point.
Not Simchas Yantav.
So let's try to work with that. So we had a Gemara in Beya. The Gemara in Beya told us, I am not allowed to turn off a light just to have Tashmish. That was a Gemara. That's brought down on Shulchan Aruch. Can we start differentiating between that need and the need to go to sleep? And obviously there are different needs, right? Sleeping is a much bigger need than having Tashmish. So if you take a look over here on the next page.
Why was Simchas Yantav going this life
and not with cooking? Not Simchas Yantav. It's not about Simchas Yantav. It's about Oichal Nefesh. Oichal Nefesh means that I need to do certain things. Not Simchas Yantav. Simchas Yantav is not the right wording. The wording would be Oichal Nefesh. Under the banner of Oichal Nefesh. Now, what would be under the banner of Oichal Nefesh? So let's say, for example, why am I allowed to, why is a person allowed to heat up hot water on Yom Tov to wash his hands and feet? Because the Gemara calls that Shavu L'chol Nefesh. That's L'tzoich, because of Mitoich. Right. But what's the heter?
The predicate is
that the predicate that Shavu L'chol Nefesh, good, that's true. Right. But there has to be that somehow it's considered that I need it, it's necessary. So there's a tzoich. Now, sleeping is a pretty big tzoich. People need to sleep. So if you tell a guy that you can't sleep over Yom Tov, that's already considered a tzoich. So it would have to work under mitoich. Meaning mitoich, I'm allowed to extinguish a flame to save a dish. I'm allowed to extinguish a light to save a night's sleep. That would be the premise of how this would work. You'll ask me, we don't say that with regard to Tashmish. The answer is maybe the need is not as high as you think. That's what we'll have to see. Exactly. That's the same premise of showering. One of the reasons why you're allowed to shower is because rechitza is considered like oichal nefesh. Now, how is showering anything to do with eating? The answer has nothing to do with eating. It has to do with the fact that it's just like as necessary as eating is, so too showering and other activities also.
But so, how about you didn't give that share in the Kirtle.
Which share?
About showering.
Of course I did.
You got it.
No, I gave it here, I gave it there, I did it everywhere.
Yeah, but there they definitely would not say it's
that's correct. I said they have it backwards. They think smoking might be in showers, not.
Right.
It depends what you're used to. It depends what you're used to. But again, the showers it does need a much bigger discussion, but not for now. So let's take a look over it very quickly.
By the way, as a kid, I don't know about anybody else here, it was never a concept of taking a shower.
No.
Only.
Yeah.
2 days, 3 days antes.
Never.
I was actually surprised. It was one of my daughter-in-laws, it was like pretty more in the Hasidic, you know, background. I mean, they do it like it's no problem.
It's funny because the men don't do it because they all go to mikvah, so they don't really need to take the shower. But the litvishes, it's today it's becoming more popular because everyone kvetches. They can't handle 3 yams of
garlic. Yeah, I'm not doing it for a selfless. I'm doing it for a kid.
Oh, the kids are a different child. Kids are more complicated. The kids is also not a push to sugi also. You got to go carefully with the Ramam, with the Aruch HaShulchan. The kids is also, I think, more people also. That's another hat that everyone uses. Oh, kids, go straight into the bath. Not so posh either.
No, and if anything, a shower is much better for them than a bath, no?
It's the same thing. It's the same cooking up with the hot water. It doesn't matter. Yeah. It's not going to matter. The question is, again, these are the two things that I think women decide that the pater on their matter on their own is lowering the gas and bathing the kids in Yom Tov. Both need to be done with a little bit more shikol hadas before either of those activities are done because they could be potentially a surah. Serious. Again, kibbutz not as bad, but cooking up the water can be a serious problem.
By the way, once I'm learning everything that I'm doing wrong so far tonight, but let's say you definitely could take from, let's say, one flame to light another. That's no problem on Yom Tov, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Could you
take... So the gas is on already.
Yeah, yeah. So what we do is, you know, like those skewers, the long skewers. So my wife, the bench left on Yom Tov, we take a skewer, go to the gas, she lights it, she lights the left, and then puts it in the sink, and it goes out by itself.
So that we're going to talk about, Bli Neder, we'll get to that.
That's a problem.
After Pesach, we're going to talk about that. That's a question of there's a question.
No.
Kibbutz de Memel is okay. The question just is that in between Havara Tzorich, is that necessary?
Well, how else are you going to get your...
Take the candle itself. That's what I do.
Oh, yeah, we have the swans.
All right, so that's a machlokes apoyskim. We'll see. Many poyskim say, well, this is latzarich, like you said. There's no other way to do it. But we're going to learn there's such a thing called the ner shabatola, that this is negate lighting yartzeh candles on Yom Tov, which we'll have to get to Bli Neder after Pesach also. If you're allowed to light a yartzeh candle on Yom Tov, because is that really considered a havara of any cooking? It's not cooking. It's a yartzeh candle.
As opposed
to doing it every Yom Tov. So most people do it every Yom Tov. That's the question. Is that enough of a tzarech? So we'll see. There's a Tosfos in Beya with a Yerushalmi. We'll have to get that. That's called the sugya of Ner Shabbatola. Bli Neder, it's not terrible. That's not terrible. What you're doing is not terrible, Michael. But Bli Neder, it's not terrible. Don't worry. So let's see. So we're going to have to jump around over here because we're very, very late over here. And there's a lot of goodies over here. But first of all, very big kitzur, the Magen Avraham writes.
What source?
We're on the source number two. The Magen Avraham writes a chiddush. The Magen Avraham writes, let's say, for example, a guy, his house is burning, Nebuch. And he's gonna lose a place to eat. But it happens to be he has a very lovely Goyisha neighbor that's more than happy to let him eat all his meals there. The food is safe. All he's gonna lose is he's gonna have nowhere to sit to eat the meals. He'll have to sit on the curb. But he has a very lovely Goyisha neighbor who's willing to take him in. So Magen Avraham says, you're not allowed to put out the fire. Eat the meals by the Goyisha neighbor.
Hefsen
Merubah
doesn't count.
No, you're not allowed to put out a fire because of Hefsen Merubah and Yom Tov. Absolutely not.
Yeah. So awesome. You got to let your house burn.
That's correct. The Vilna Gaon says we have a gevaldik chiddush over here. We see from over here that even on a nisa derabbanan, you have to lose all your money not to be over nisa derabbanan. Because kibbutz is only nisa derabbanan. And you look at the Mishnayos in Kol Kisvei, the 16th parak of Shabbos, they talk about that you're not allowed to even ask a goy. You're not even allowed to, you can't just ask someone to put out a fire or even do it yourself. Even though it's just a question. Again, if shailof pikuach nefesh, one house will nebuch burn down, another house and people will die, it's not a shailof. We're talking about a guy who lives up in the mountains. It's him in a cabin, middle of nowhere, and everyone is out of the house. There's no danger. It's just a question of money. It's 100% awesome to put out that fire.
And how about, could you ask your guy to call the fire department?
No, if it's just money, you're not allowed to. It's not a shvus, it's a shvus, it's a shvus, let's say what? Let's say have some moment, maybe. Yeah,
but to turn
maybe
off the life for sleep is
but
okay.
To turn off the life for sleep, every mut. It's a gewaldic, right? Let's see. So the Magen Avraham paskins that if you have nowhere to eat, except for the guy's house, you're not allowed to put out the fire. Oh. So let's jump a little bit. Again, we're short on time over here. But there's a Mari Dikar Rabbi Chanan here that's Kedai to see, but we don't have time for it. But let's jump to Nissen Karels. Number 7. We're really jumping over here. I would love to go through this better, but time is not on our side. Nissen Karels discussed the following option. Nissen Karels wants to say that the reason why you're not allowed to, meaning Nissen Karels is bothered with Rabbi Chanan's kash. What happened to Mitoich? We had this kash last week. What happened to Mitoich? Mitoich, I'm allowed to do something with Tzairich. I'm allowed to do it shalei letzarich, right? That's why I'm allowed to cook up, let's say, the water to wash my hands. Is because mitoich, I'm allowed to light a fire to cook up my soup. I'm allowed to light a fire to cook up water because everyone wants to shower. It's davar shav l'chol nefesh. So why is that not good enough to allow me to turn off a light, turn off the light in the bedroom that I want to have tashmish in? Why is that not good enough? So Rabbi Chanan comes up with the yisoid, which is kamat beforish in Rashba already, that there's a difference over here. Because over here, turning off the light is just... Let's say, for example, the light is staring you. So you want to remove the shter. You want to remove the thing that's disturbing you. Zogt Rabbi Chanan, on that we don't say mitoich. In order to say mitoich, it has to be I'm getting something directly benefited out of this action. Here is just removing an inconvenience.
That's right.
But over here says Rabbi Chanan, we don't say mitoich in that case. It says with this in Karelis, if that's true, the same thing would be with the light. I cannot turn off the light on Yom Tov, even if there would be mitoich, because turning off a light is only removing an inconvenience, but not doing a positive act. Now, why is this negeya? Because Rabbi Yaakov has a gevaldik chiddush. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky held that you're allowed to kill bugs on Yom Tov. My wife loves this Rabbi Yaakov. She likes to kill bugs. So Rabbi Yaakov held you're allowed to kill bugs on Yom Tov. Why are you allowed to kill bugs on Yom Tov? Mitoich. It's mitoich. Mitoich. I'm allowed to shecht an animal to eat. I'm allowed to shecht a bug that's annoying me. It's mitoich.
But you can't eat it.
You don't need to eat it. You need to kill it. Mitoich. Zog to Rabbi Yaakov, it's mitoich. Mitoich, I'm allowed to kill. I'm allowed to shech. I'm allowed to kill a bug.
So according to him, you could also capture it too. You could stick a cup on it too.
You're not allowed to do tzeid on Yom Tov.
You can't kill it.
You can't do tzeid on Yom Tov. You're not allowed to do tzeid on Yom Tov. It's too far removed. You can't do. Not all malachas are mutter b'Yom Tov, Rabbi Yisrael. We gotta go back to the beginning.
If a burglar comes into your house, you could kill him on Yom Tov.
I'm confused.
I kill you.
Maybe, I guess. Again.
That's what I said. You could kill a bug. You could pull out your Glock and shoot him.
No, so there's a little bit of another problem.
You can't trap him.
You can't trap him. It happens to be a geschmacka sugya about trapping people. I did that sugya with the kail also because I thought it was only my kids that are crazy that sometimes we have to lock them in a bedroom. So it might say, Shaz, can you lock a kid in a bedroom on Yom Tov and Shabbos? Real shayla. I said, today you gotta get in trouble. It's a big deal in the Paiskim whether or not there's even a musig of tzeid on a human being. They get to jail and prison. Okay, maybe.
Stanford discussed that in certain insects that are not only the tzeid, there's no din of tzeid.
Oh, that's true. So legabi tzeida. So legabi tzeida, we have another principle. Every tzeid is only going to be drabon because ein bemino nitzad. It's not normally that breed is not normally trapped. So it's ein bemino nitzad. But again, it's still a drabon. So if Yaakov held, you can say mitoich. And this is Karel says, you can't say mitoich. That's right, exactly. That's why, according to Yaakov, you're allowed to kill all the bugs in the sukkah because knock them out. Go for it.
Awesome.
It's a murdik. It's a murdik of Yaakov. Not only did Yaakov hold that way, his cousin, Yaakov Ruderman, also held that way.
Wow.
It must have been a Slobotka thing. They both looked at Slobotka. But the trap of me would be us, sir.
This is the first thing
we have to do. Yeah, he holds Shalom Chalash. Now, Belinada, after Sukkah, after Pesach, we'll have to talk about, there is a Tzitz Eliezer that holds you're allowed to turn off a light if the kids can't sleep on Yom Tov.
And what reason?
He holds that it's as important as washing or bathing, it's Eichel Nefesh. Now, everyone argues on him, but keep that in the back of your mind. If it happens to come up, there's a Tzitz Eliezer that holds.
Is it bad if you do it or have your four-year-old do it?
So if the kid's doing it for himself, that would be the best.
So why would he be worse to tell him?
No, you can't tell him. If he does it on his own, that would be okay. Uh-huh. So again, Belinada after Pesach, I'm still Sukkot. After Pesach, we'll get to it much more. We'll get into it much more. But just to know, Yediyah Ba'alma, there is a Tzitz Eliezer that's matter. Okay.